This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City Church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
You know, sometimes just being quiet is good, because when I preach, sometimes I want to hear, I want quiet, and sometimes I want to see excitement. But you see, today you can shout praise the Lord, you can get excited, you can be undignified. Like I think Pastor Bayo said it, he says, this is the last service of the year. Amen. But we still have one in the evening. Amen. But I want us to thank God. I want you to get excited. You see, thank you is an attitude of appreciation and gratitude for something we have received from someone or for what they have done. Praise is an attitude of recognition or commendation of a person's worth or ability. So what am I saying? We're saying thank you to God because of what he has done for us. We're going to praise him because we're recognizing, hallelujah, his worth and his ability. Is there anybody here who will say, in 2017, God hasn't been good to you? God has been good. So when we look at Psalm 92, verses 1 to 6, the psalmist says this. He says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. Can you tell someone this morning, it is good?
It is good to give thanks to the Lord.
And you know he didn't only stop there. He then goes on to say, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Oh, hallelujah. So what he's saying, it is a good attitude. It's a good habit to have to thank God. It is a good habit to praise God. It should be part of our DNA to thank God and to praise him. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, to declare your loving kindness in the morning. Wow. And your faithfulness every night. Do you know, when we go to bed at night, we're not sure if we're going to wake up the following morning. Because we are always between life and death. Amen. So the psalmist is saying here that when I wake up in the morning, I will declare your loving kindness because I've woken up. And when I'm going to bed at night, your faithfulness, because you're the one that keeps me all through the night until the following morning. Can someone praise the Lord today? I was sharing with the leaders earlier today in there, and I talked about instrument. You know, there are some of you who love quiet music. You don't want this banging of drums and shouting. Oh, I love Remy when Remy begins to praise the Lord. You understand? She does not care who is around her. How I wish everybody can be like that. Not to think about who is standing next to you. Just praise the Lord. Because you know what's interesting? God is looking at you, not the person standing next to you. He says, on an instrument of strings, on the flute and on the harp, with harmonious sound, for you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands. Oh Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts towards me are very deep. Psalm 115 says, the Lord is mindful of me always. Which means I am always on God's mind. Are you always on God's mind? I am always on God's mind. That is why I can praise him. That's why I can thank him. That is why I'm submitting to you this morning, that you have every reason to praise and thank God. Listen to what verse 6 says. Verse 6 says, a senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. So what are we saying here? A senseless person does not know God's goodness. A fool does not know God's goodness. You know why? Because they don't believe that there is God. Let me give you a quick joke. Some few years ago, some people came around, atheists came around, and they said, "We want our own day." And the judge said, "Why do you want your day? You already have it." And they said, "No, we don't." He said, "Yes, you have it, 1st of April. April Fool's Day." Because the Bible says, he who says there is no God is a fool. So they have a 1st of April. But you see, those of us who know God, we have every reason to thank him. Hallelujah. The psalmist tells us that it's a delightful thing to thank and praise God. You see, we can never say thank you enough to parents. We can never say thank you enough to some friends, to some leaders, and not to talk about God. Can we ever say thank you enough to God? When you look at the stars, when you look at the moon, when you look at the sun, when you look at the trees, when you look at the air you breathe in, when you look at the fact that you can walk, you can wake up in the morning. Do you know there are many who were hoping to see today and didn't? Amen. Do you know you don't even have to pay for the sunlight? You don't have to pay for the moon. You don't have to pay to admire the stars. Maybe I'm just full of jokes this morning. A young man came to Nigeria and he was looking at all the skyscrapers. And he said, "Wow, they have a lot of skyscrapers here." And one Nigerian man was looking at him and said, "This one is just coming to the country." And he goes, "Come here. Do you know you cannot look at skyscrapers without paying for them?" And he said, "Oh, I didn't know that." So he said, "How many did you see?" He said, "I saw about 4. He said, "Okay, that will cost you 4,000 naira. And so he gave the guy 4,000 naira and walked away. And as he was walking away, the guy said, "What a fool. I've looked at about 20 skyscrapers." You don't have to pay to admire the stars. You get what I'm saying? You don't have to pay to bathe in sunlight. Do you know if you were to pay God, for those of us who go away and come back, I wanted to say tanned, you don't have to pay for it. You get what I'm saying? So we have every reason to thank God. And sometimes these are the little things we do not thank God for. These are the little things we do not appreciate because they're there. But we have so much to thank God. Someone praise the Lord today. And I've come to realize that when we cultivate the attitude of thanksgiving, we will find out that our perspective and outlook of life will change. When we learn to thank people, when we learn to thank God, when we learn what it means to be thankful to God for everything he has done, we will become more humble. We'll become more positive. Will become more gracious to God. Amen. I think one of the greatest things that I love and I enjoy is thanking God. Even when I cannot come out and say, pray in tongues or anything, I have come to appreciate the fact that God deserves to be thanked. When I look at where God has brought me from, when I look at where I am today, when I look at this church, I look at this building, I look at all that God has done for us this year. People of God, I have every reason to say thank you. What about you? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The psalmist says, a senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. Amen. I sometimes watch some people. They can be nice to you because they want to get something. And the minute they get what they want, that's it. But you know, sometimes we do that to God. We're that way to God. We want something and we quickly remember that we need to go and pray. We quickly remember that we need to thank God. Some of us make promises. "Oh God, if you can just do this for me, I will serve you till the kingdom come." And the minute they get it, that's it. God is not a slot machine. But we must learn on a daily basis to say thank you. Hallelujah. I've come to learn not to take God for granted. In Luke 17, 15 to 17, Jesus tells us this parable. Okay? And so I'm saying that as believers, we must cultivate an attitude of giving thanks and praise to God always. In Luke 17, we're told of this story about the 10 lepers who came to Jesus. Do you know what's interesting about this story? First and foremost, they were lepers. And they've already been declared lepers. Which means they probably have gone to the high priest, and that the high priest have seen them and said, "You're lepers." Because when you look in the book of Leviticus, that was the rule. But Jesus said to them, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Why? And I realized that going to show themselves to the high priest was to confirm their cleansing and their healing. But there and then they weren't healed. They were still lepers. But Jesus saying, "Go," was that Jesus has already declared them clean. And so they were going to show themselves to the high priest. And the Bible tells us that as they were going, they were healed on their way before they even got to the high priest. Because you see, when Jesus said to them, "Go show yourself to the high priest," when they got to the high priest, if you're still lepers, the high priest will say, "You're lepers." So why did Jesus say, "Go show yourself to the high priest"? Because he knew they were healed. Amen. They just had to believe it. I don't know if there is someone here today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what your challenge is. Jesus is saying, "Go show yourself to the high priest." Which means he knows you are healed, you are set free, you have victory. But this is what's interesting. As they were going, they got healed. I don't know what happened to the other nine. They probably got excited. And they went on to the high priest. But the Bible says in verse 15, it says, "And one of them, when he saw he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks." And the Bible says he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered, "Where are the other? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go. Your faith has made thee well." We can all find answers to our biggest needs in life if we learn to thank God for all that he has done. Amen. We can all find breakthroughs in all our endeavors when we learn just to spend time every day thanking God for the gift of his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. When we look at Psalm 103, you might ask, what is the reason? What is the reason why I should thank God or praise him? The reasons are innumerable. If I was to ask each and every one of you to write your blessings, I bet you many of you will not be able to finish writing. That is, if you're not looking at the supposed big blessings. Amen. The psalmist in Psalm 103 says this. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Let me tell you what's interesting about that word bless. You see, when I say to you, "I bless you," that's coming from me. I'm pronouncing a blessing. I'm declaring God's faithfulness over you. But when we say "bless the Lord," it's impossible for you to pronounce a blessing on God. Do you know what the word "bless" actually means when we say "bless the Lord"? It's a Hebrew word called barak, which is to kneel. Hallelujah. To kneel down. And thank God. That's why you see in that chapter, in that verse in Luke, he says, when the man came back, he fell on his knees. He fell on his face and thanked Jesus. Hallelujah. We have to cultivate this habit of blessing God. When you come and you just say, "Lord, I want to bless you. I want to thank you. I want to adore you because I've not forgotten your benefits." Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know about you, people of God, but do not forget his benefits. And as the psalmist is declaring, he said, my mind, my body, every part of me, I command you to fall before the Lord and thank him for all that he has done. Is there someone in the house today? You want to say, I want to just bless the Lord. Shabbat God. Fall before him. Say, Lord, I thank you. I have not forgotten your benefit. My hand bless the Lord. My head bless the Lord. My feet bless the Lord. Every part of me bless the Lord. For he has done great and mighty things. I will not forget your benefits. He says he forgives all my iniquities. Can you imagine? The Bible says, if God should mark iniquities, who will stand? But there is forgiveness in him that he may be feared. He says, all our sins he has put in the sea of forgetfulness. He says, as the east is far from the west, so has he separated our sins from him. Oh, we have reasons to thank God. Hallelujah. He says, who heals all your diseases. Can you imagine if it wasn't for God? Praise the Lord. He says, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You see, when I look at that scripture, who redeems your life from destruction. I was thinking of yesterday as we were coming, going to where we were going to Dagenham. And as I came to this roundabout, this guy was coming out from the right at 40 miles per hour. He wasn't looking left or right. He just came, and I just went, oh. He delivered us from destruction. On a daily basis. On a daily basis. Do you know what God delivers you from? Do you know what God delivers you from when you're sleeping? Do you know what God delivers you from on your way to work? Do you know what God delivers you from when you leave your children at home? Do you know what God delivers you from when your children are on their way to school? You know, sometimes we parents, we panic where, oh, what's happening? We look at the time. They should have been home at 5 after 5. They're not back home. Oh, what has happened? God delivers them from destruction. So we have reason to thank God. He says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things. Amen. There are people who do not have food on their table, but you have food on your table. Even when my kids were young and they would say, Dad, oh, you can go to the wall and put that card in and it will bring out some money. And you say to them, do you know you have to have money in that account before you put something in that wall? Okay. But as far as they're concerned, Dad, just put that card in the wall and let it give you money. He satisfies your mouth and my mouth with good things. You understand what I'm saying? And when I look at most of you, you don't look anything older than 21. I didn't say that. He says he renews your youth like the eagles. Amen. Because he satisfied your mouth with good things. Your youth is renewed. Praise the Lord. Is someone excited this morning? The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. When you think about the number of times that you have been oppressed in your workplaces, when you think about the number of times that you feel as though you do not fit in, but God fits you in. Oh, praise the Lord. I have reason to thank God. I have reason to thank God. Whenever you sit down and you do not know what to thank God for, remember that he forgives your iniquities. He heals your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things. He renews your youth like the eagles. He executes righteousness and justice when you're oppressed. Hallelujah. If we fail to recognize and thank God for his benefit, we lose out on his abundance. Amen. Jesus said to the leper, "Your faith has made thee whole." When he was going, he was to be healed. Isn't that so? But when he came back, guess what? It wasn't just healing. It was wholeness. Hallelujah. It was wholeness because he had the guts to come back and say, "Thank you." Jesus said, "Completely you're healed. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, you're healed. Whatever it is that has been bothering you, I have dealt with it." God has dealt with so many things. But you know what our struggle is sometimes? We sometimes allow our unmet needs to blind us. Have you got any unmet needs that is blinding you? Amen. Do you know Philippians 4:6 never ceases to amaze me? It says, "Be anxious for nothing." And Jesus said, he says, "Why do you worry? You worrying does not add anything to your, is it height, weight, to anything. It doesn't. But rather, you're losing when you worry." I worry. I used to. I don't worry anymore. That's why I sleep. When I go to bed, I sleep. Even though there are things that are bothering me, I sleep. I'd rather become a warrior than a warrior. Amen. They're two different things. Amen. Who is a warrior here? Who is a warrior? Yeah. I know some people say, "I'll try." But do you know how you can stop being a warrior and become a warrior? He says in that verse, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Does that mean that God doesn't know you have a worry? Does that mean that God doesn't know you have been challenged? But he says, don't be anxious about it. He says, this is what I want you to do. Come to me, lay it before me. But whilst you're laying it before me, thank me. Thank me. You see, where our challenge is sometimes as Christians is that we thank God because we needed a car yesterday. He gave us a car. We thank him for the car. We need money in our bank account. God surprises us. We thank him. So when we give testimonies, "God bless me with a car. He gave me this." But what about in the meantime, the thing he has not met? Do you thank him for that? But he's saying to you, present that to me. Forget about that which I've done. You know, when the Lord revealed that Psalm 103 to me, that he revealed his ways to Moses, his action to the children of Israel, I began to realize that, wait a minute, every situation in my life, when I spend time in his presence, he reveals the next step to me. But I've known the actions. I've known his acts. He gave me a car. I've known another act. He put money in my account. But what about when I'm still waiting for him to heal me? What about when I'm still waiting for him to give me a job? What about when I'm still waiting for him to rescue my son or my daughter? What am I doing? The Bible says Hezekiah opened the letter, placed it before God, and he laid before God and he said, "God, this is your problem. It's not mine." Amen. I have learned to thank God by saying to him, "You gave me that boy and you made promises. Fulfill it. I thank you." That's what Philippians is saying. He's saying, present your case. But whilst you're still waiting, thank me. That's why Isaiah 40 says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will do what? Mount upon wings like eagles. You see, if I'm waiting on the Lord and I'm fretting, God cannot reveal his plans to me. Every time you're waiting on him, he's revealing himself. And every time you do what he's asked you to do, guess what? He reveals more to you. And as you're moving forward, people are looking at you and saying, are you the only one that God's love? Well, I'm not anxious. I'm waiting on him. And I'm thanking him whilst I'm waiting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do you realize that thank you and praise is a decision? Is a choice. Look at Psalm 57, verse 4. Psalm 57, verse 4 to 9. This is when David was running away from Saul. If you look at it from verse 1, David is talking about all these things he's going through. But I decided to take it from verse 4. Because in verse 4, it says, my soul is among lions. Let me put this to you. When you're going through anything in your life or in your home, it's like your soul is among lions. You know what? They're not eating you, but they're growling at you. It's like, and you're like, oh my God. I remember going to Kenya. And when we went to Kenya, we went when the lions were feasting. You remember? Boy, you see them relaxed and they're chewing the meat. But you know, during that period, nobody will dare go near them. But then we also saw when they were chasing the antelope and then they grabbed the antelope. So what you see is that the antelope is running and the lion is chasing after. Sometimes our lives can be like that when we have series of challenges facing us. When we have debt, when we have sickness, when we have unemployment, all these things are like lions. But he goes on to say, I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth and spears and arrows and their tongue are a sharp sword. So in the midst of all this, he also have people who want to tear him apart. Then he says in verse 5, be exalted, O God. Even in this situation, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. Then he stops. Sometimes I think David is like, oh God, I don't know whether to say he's a schizo. But when you look at him sometimes, then he says in verse 6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me into the midst of it. They themselves have fallen. My heart is steadfast, oh God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and give praise. Awake my glory. Awake lute and harp. I will awaken the dawn. Then he stops. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. What do I see here? Even in the midst of the lions, in the midst of the people who have spears, who have guns, who have everything, even in the midst of everything I'm going through, I will sing and I will praise you. Because you, O Lord, will never forsake those who trust you. Amen. Can you imagine Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20? He's got all these people surrounding him. And God says to him, you will be a spectator in this battle. But this is who your soldiers are going to be. Get Shelly-Ann. Get Barbara. Get Leroy. Get Anya. Get all the praise and worship team. Let them begin to praise me. Hallelujah. You find out that even in the face of a battle where Jehoshaphat is challenged by kings from almost five different nations, God is saying to him, praise me. So as we end the year 2017, I want to challenge you and say, praise God. Thank him. You see, when you look at Psalm 92, Psalm 92 says, it is a good thing to thank and to praise the Most High God. But 57 shows us that the decision to praise and thank God in whatever situation we find ourselves is ours. It's no one else's. It's yours to thank him. Even when there is no food on your table. Amen. Even when you're surrounded by people who criticize you. Even when you feel oppressed, even when you feel alone, even when you feel like life is leaving your body, we have a choice to thank God and rejoice. I remember in 1993 when I was desperate for a job. And I remember my boss then who said to me, Roland, you do this, you do that. And he said this to me. He said, I will write you a report. When I write your reference, you will never get a job. And I looked him straight in the eye and I said, if I go on my knees and I pray, you will look for a job and you will never find one. And he was like, and he left. Roland, you've cursed me. You've cursed me. I said, no, I didn't curse you. But I knew I needed to leave that job. So every day, when I'm driving, I had done the interview for that job, and I didn't hear anything. So every day for a month, I'll drive past that place and I'll say, Lord, I thank you for my job. I thank you because this is my office. I thank you for every day. And I used to have to drop friends, and I'll thank God. And I used to have to drive through there to go to my old job. I will thank God for that job. When they called me, I said, come and start. It wasn't a surprise because I have learned to thank God even when I needed a job. Some of us need to learn to thank God in whatever situation we are in. Amen. Thank the Lord. You see, the one thing that brings joy to God's heart is thank you. If you notice that Jesus himself, even at the grave of Lazarus, do you know what he did? He said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. Amen. When he picked up the loaves of bread, he lifted it up to God and said, Father, I thank you. And he said, distribute it. Amen. You see, thank you is so powerful. There are some people who, when you say thank you to, they say, oh, why do you have to say thank you to me again? You've already said thank you. I say thank you because I know that thank you will open the door for another thank you. Amen. Amen. When I'm driving and someone allows me to get in, I do not just flash my hazard. I open the window. Thank you. Because I know that someone else will give me way to go in. Thank you is so important. The Bible says in Psalm 100, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Do you know that? If I show you the African tradition, especially the Nigerian tradition, when you want to go into the palace of a king, okay, before you even go through the gates, you begin to thank him. You begin to thank him. You begin to speak of his goodness. And as you come closer, the gate is open. And you come in and you're still singing his goodness. Then you get into his court and you begin to praise him. And you're praising him. Is there anyone like you? I have searched all through eternity. I can never find anyone like you. You're the great I am. You're the Rose of Sharon. You're the Balm in Gilead. Father God, the King of Kings. You're going on. And the Bible says that God is enthroned in the praises of his people. As you're praising him, as you're thanking him, I'm going Yoruba today again. We say Orimiwu. That means my head is swollen. As we're praising God, God's head swells. It's like, whoa, my children. Is this for me? And guess what he does? He comes in and takes his throne. What do you think happens when the king steps in? Can anybody tell me? You stop praising God. What do? You worship him. Hallelujah. As you're lifting up praises, you know, people, there's this song, when praises go up, blessing comes down. But I want to say to you, the greatest thing you can do as a Christian is to learn to thank God. You see, if you cannot thank people, you find it difficult to thank God. And if you cannot thank God, you find it difficult to thank people. So they're interwoven. Amen. Has God done great things for you in this house? Has God done great things for you in this house? You know what we're going to do? I said to them, we're going to thank God today. Amen. Oh, we're going to thank God. Some of you, you're like, I'm still waiting for this. I'm still waiting. Me, I have learned not to wait on those things. I've learned to wait on God. And in waiting on him, I've learned to thank him. You get what I'm saying? You don't know how much I go before God. I say, God, I thank you for the souls that are coming into this church. I can look at empty chairs and be drawn by empty chairs. I can look at empty chairs and be grabbed by empty chairs. No! Father, I thank you for souls. Father God, I thank you for Mazewood Road. What have you got to thank God for? What is it that you're waiting for? It is time to get up and thank God. Is it for your marriage? Is it for your home? You know, sometimes, some of you, I think it was Pastor Bumi who said it once, that my wife and myself were so. But one of the things I've learned is to say thank you to that woman. Amen. The work she does. Thank you. When was the last time you said thank you to your spouse? When was the last time you said thank you to your children? They can be so little, but you can say, because I'm their parents, why should I say thank you? What have they done? For the fact that they've not even left home. Am I praying that they should live with me forever? No. They will have to go and marry. But the fact that they stay in that home, and when you say clean the toilet, they clean the toilet. When you say vacuum clean, they vacuum clean. I have reason to say thank you to them. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? We have reason to thank people, not to talk about thanking God.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-ncc.org. And remember, God loves you.